Hey, I can't stay for the whole meeting.
Uh-oh. Oh, now, we came to spend, you got to stay too.
Well, let me welcome everyone to the City Vacant Work Session. Talk about it, we know that works. I want to thank you very much for volunteering to serve. And I look forward to this. I think we all do. I hope we all do. This is a real opportunity to participate together and come up with something. I was searching for words as to exactly what to call it, but I think our goal is to try to come up with a consensus. In a work session, of course, we don't vote. There's not a lot of people raise their hand to vote on various issues. But to somehow come up with a consensus, then we would do city council for further consideration. To me, that's what we're trying to do. That's what we're here to do. And I want to thank not only y'all here, but I want to thank the Planning Commission. We all have any members, but I want to be sure to thank the Planning Commission and Philip Kabood, that we acknowledge the work that they've done. We appreciate that over the years. We know that this has been an ongoing project for several years. And there have been many individuals, that have worked on this too. So, City Council appreciates everyone's input this time. And now we're going to take it another step. Hopefully this will be the final step for that process together. Roger has given us some good information. Thank you, Roger, for your information you've given us. You've outlined several issues that seem to be the most important. I'm sure there'll be others that'll come up, and that's what we want everybody's thoughts as we go through. Appreciate that. And Roger will go through those just a second. But again, thank you for agreeing to work. As everybody knows, everybody know Dick DeWall?
Dick.
I moved to Hague in September. He's had some experience in California. And everybody knows everybody.
I don't know who I am. I'm just a small guy. Alan Wood.
He stands up. He's not very small. That's for sure. Alan, thank you very much for sitting in with us also.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And I guess that's the main thing. I don't want to go on and on. So at this point, turn it over to Roger. Just one thing. We do have a World Series going on, Nick. Everybody knows that. And we've got two people here that have sons playing. Well, we hope to be the winning team. Ted's son? Gary? Where's Gary? Gary's son. Wow. Make us all proud. So they'll be leaving. It starts at 8 o'clock.
Oh, we can go with it.
Sure.
Good. Some of us want to go.
I want to go, and several others want to go. Roger, Dorothy?
Sure.
So maybe we can hold this to maybe an hour and a half, and then we'll see where we go in the future meeting. Assuming we'll need another meeting, hopefully no more than that, but we'll see as we go through. All right, Roger?
Okay. Just as a point of clarification, Alan is replacing Joan Bondor, who you may have seen her name in the paper. She was not able to come tonight to the meeting, and since we felt that there's not going to be that many meetings, we asked that the replacement come, and so Jane had asked Alan Wood to take her place. So that's why Alan is here. As the mayor said, thank you for coming. This gives us an opportunity. We especially would like to hear from the appointees and citizens your thoughts, your opinions. That doesn't mean the council can't give your opinions. But that's one of the reasons we appointed the committee here, so that we would get some outside help and some feelings as to what the community felt concerning traffic ordinance. I have just set out four basic things, and I'm sure there are other ideas that each of you may have as to what may be changed. But to get us started, because sometimes that's the hardest point, where we'd like to go by the end of this evening is, if possible, to get some kind of consensus or feeling as to what changes you could agree on or not agree on. We could then go back and make a number of changes to the ordinance and then bring something back to you. Now, we may not get that far tonight, but if all things go well, we get to a point where we could then come back with another draft for you and take a look at it, or if a small committee wanted to get together with us and help us with that draft, that'd be fine, too. Does anybody have any questions concerning this ordinance or what we're trying to do or what you maybe read that maybe you didn't understand? Okay. The first item that I have listed, and again, what I came up with this is based on hearing from over 100 people that night, getting some feelings from council and others as to some of the major points that they felt needed to have some changes in the ordinance. The first thing, and seemed to be the major one, was at what threshold should a traffic ordinance be required? There's no magic numbers or any of this. Originally, it had 100. That was based on the fact that some cities had 100. It was based on the fact that some cities looked at the peak hour. In all reality, after hearing comments, 1,000 makes a lot more sense. Now, how do we get to 1,000? 1,000 trips per day, when you look at it, 10% is considered peak hour. So if you measure the peak hour traffic, and peak hour, for those that don't understand what I'm talking about, that's taking the worst hour of the day. It could be from 7:45 to 8:45 in the morning. It could be between 5 and 6 o'clock at night. But the peak hour is the heaviest traffic volume at any point of the day. And when you look at the 24-hour accumulation of the amount of volumes, 10% of that 24-hour value is normally what you relate to the peak hour. Now, that some cases it's a little higher, some cases a little lower. But if you set the peak hour, which is typically in the afternoon, typically between 4 and 6 o'clock, and you looked at 1 hour and you came up with a volume, so let's say it's 1,000, then 10% is going to be 100 trips per day is one way of looking at it with peak hour value. Did everybody understand what I said? More or less? Less or more? So that is why we took level of service D. Now, some of you may not understand what a level of service is. A level of service is just measuring the congestion on the roadway. At the higher level of service, level of service A, very little congestion. Level of service D, or E, you're getting to the point where you're going to have to stop and make some, maybe a traffic signal at D, you might have to wait one or two lights for it. If you get to a level of service E, you're going to have to wait for a much longer period of time. So we'd like to keep it at a higher level of service if at all possible. So we said in here that you may want to consider, and we went back and looked at several different towns in South Carolina, have picked a threshold of 1,000 trips per day for level of service D. The mayor asked him, how did I come up with 2,000 for C and D? There really wasn't any rhyme or reason there. Those numbers could change. But we did find some good data for coming up with level service D and 1,000 trips per day. Whiskey Road will be operating in most areas under level service D. If you look at what would go ahead and require 1,000 trips per day, certainly a convenience store would, a fast food store would have it over 1,000 trips per day. 100 residential subdivision, so 100 homes in subdivision would produce about 1,000 trips per day. One resident, typically in South Carolina, has between 9 and 10 trips per day for a single family. So if you had 100 of those coming in on a set of plans, that's going to produce 1,000 trips. If you had a 100 home subdivision, then they would have to go ahead and do a study if it was going to exit onto Whiskey Road. Now I was going to exit on York Street, north of town here, which is a level surface B, then that'd have to be a 300 home subdivision or larger as a comparison. So that'd be the first question is, at what threshold would you like to see the study developed at?
You want us to go through these one by one and discuss them?
Yes, we're going to go ahead and take the first one here.
As far as this goes, I'm a little confused because it's sort of the chicken or the egg. How do we know what the trips per day would be until we get the study done?
It's a very simple formula by looking, you have one right here. That goes ahead, and within a few minutes, you can determine how many trips a particular development will create. Most developers can do that themselves, and we have to hire an engineer.
Given that, wouldn't that, would you have to have a study that would come back and confirm that, or are you getting the study to tell you what the end result is by having those increased trips? Does that make sense? I mean, what's the study going to tell you coming back? Or what are you looking for in the study? If you can estimate what a 50,000 square foot development.
The impact of the traffic, that's not the study there. So it takes that impact and see how
which is going to tell you the places you need to mitigate.
What you have to do to put up a stoplight or a turning lane or whatever like that as a result of this.
It's a little bit more than that, too, Roger. You have what's called internal capture trips. You have pass-by trips. And we can't, you know, we're defining on a simple formula that's not exactly right because those change with the use that's there. For example, a gas station, 41% of their traffic is pass-by traffic. That customer is already on the road.
This doesn't take that into account at all. You know, that's what the study would then go ahead and capture.
So you're not taking that into account at all on the trips.
This is, and that's, I'm starting at 1,000. You know, we can go less, we can go more. But again, we're saying in any development that would create 1,000 trips per day on a level of service deep roadway would be required to have a study. That study then would then get involved in how many people are already out and they're making three stops along the way.
But when we do those studies, we'll have that, and then you minus out internal capture if it's a multiple. For example, if there's seven stores in a little facility, there's a multiple there, and there's an internal capture on that trip. You can't use just one, and it's the same thing on pass-bys with what the use is. So you boil down to a number.
Right, but to create a study, we're suggesting 1,000 trips. Now, again, you can raise it up higher than anything you want to, but you have to have some basis for a level to start at.
Right. I guess I was getting to the idea that maybe it's simpler to go back to the actual development and would be a retail development of X number of square feet or a residential development of 100 units or more, something like that that's a little more
I mean, you could do that, but it's pretty easy for residential because residential is going to be X amount for single family homes, X amount for apartments. It's a little different for condominiums, townhomes. Well, but when you start getting commercial development, you start getting square footage. It really makes a major difference on what they're doing at that commercial development.
I think that would eliminate the need to do just an arbitrary number. Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
It would, but it would make it a lot more complicated to come up with some type of table.
In some cases, this would just eliminate the need for a study altogether. So you're only going to focus on those potential projects that may cause a traffic problem. Not will, but might. So we're just trying to determine what stage we absolutely have to do a traffic study. And it's an estimate all.
So traffic engineering, first of all, it's not an exact science. Stormwater is not an exact science. So these are, you're estimating what's going to happen out there and trying to make some projections. And that's why, whether it's 1,000 or some other number that you use as a threshold, it's your best estimate as to what's going to help determine what's going to happen in the future at this particular location.
Did Mr. Dyer recommend a particular number?
He had recommended 1,000. I mean, looking, we told him to go back, look at some other places, and he said 1,000 for D. And I said, well, what about a C or a B level service roadway? There really is nothing on a national basis, certainly not on a local basis, that gives you any threshold. That's why we're making this as a suggestion and trying to get consensus here tonight as to, is this reasonable? 100 was not reasonable.
And I would say, I think 1,000 to me sounds pretty reasonable.
And again, that's 100 home subdivision, more or less. It'd be a little bit more than 100 home subdivision.
Roger, in that formula, what the traffic, the one I read, if you can equate that to a certain size retail, certainly 45,000. So you do have ways, say, if you build over this, you will have to study. If you have an office,
it all depends on what type of retail
is. Yes. You had 100 car, the guy built a 2,500 square foot office building on this road after the traffic.
Well, that again, all depends on what type of retail,
national office, 15,000, whatever that equates to, and we'll go down to the uses. So you know, and the other side of it, then you know how bad the traffic is going to be in the future because of what is built there, and then how do we try to mitigate it?
So there's really two suggestions on the table right now. Going with a number of trips per day, in this case we suggested 1,000 starting, or coming up with a plan of action that would say so many units, residentially, you have to go ahead and develop a plan. So many square feet of office space, you have to develop a plan. So many square feet of professional, you have to develop a plan. Either one will work.
You base that on the same table, though. So all you're doing
it really is either one will work. It just means that we have to create a little bit more study. Now, what you'd have to look at was, this professional? Is this multifamily? Is this fit in those categories?
That was my point.
I think it's easier to say 1,000.
I'm over keeping it as simple as possible.
But we can make it more complicated.
No, I think that at least the whole idea of this was to get us to where smaller retail outlets or small outlet establishments or smaller developments would not have to do a study. That's aimed at that particular point.
The only point I was making is, are we talking about trips? Are we talking about new trips? I mean, there's already trips on the road. I mean, those trips on the road, when we equate a number to those trips, if 1,000 is your number, Mr. Smith, if this use that's out there, 43% of their traffic is captured on pass-by trips, and that's historical average used by this same book, then are we going to deduct 43% of that 1,000 to get them down to a number? Because that is the new trip that's on the road that is impacting the road system.
And those trips are already reflected in your designation of level of service. So your current level of service, whether it's A through E, reflects your existing trips.
Well, it's doubling it up then.
You're looking at what you want to do, and you're determining based on this table how many trips that's going to generate, and you relate that to the current level of service for the intersections.
The question we're asking here, are we going to hold the new business responsible for existing problems, for the existing traffic?
And we'll get into some of that in more wire.
Well, I think that's what you're
doing.
To answer your question, Jim, because there are going to be individuals that are already out there that are already going from work to home, and they're going to go ahead and get a gallon of milk, drop off some dry food, do a couple other things.
Until
you go ahead and do a study and determine how many of those are going to be from individuals already out on the road, you're not going to know that number. In other words, you're going to have to do some calculations. Somebody's going to have to figure out, and then somebody's going to have to prove, well, X amount of the trips that are going to occur at that gas station are people that are already passing by. We were trying to get it so you didn't have to do any kind of calculations or any kind of study, we just pull out a table.
Well, the point is, if you have a residential subdivision, they all are going to be created by that residential subdivision. There ain't no thing to upset. So the residential is going to be whatever the number is. So it's, what the point is that the people are already there, they're going up and down Whiskey Road, and you build another one, and 30% is already there. And the real crux of this is going to be, how do we get to the second part about the mitigation and the spending of trying to fix roads? And that's where the tough part is.
That's why this is important. So because the real impact will be decided upon the impact that business has on the road. And we need to be careful that we're only holding that business accountable for the proportional amount of impact that he's creating.
But that's what the traffic study will do if he crosses the threshold in order to need a traffic study. If there's an appearance that possibly there's going to be a problem, and we're saying that 1,000 maybe gives us an indicator of that,
then we do a study.
Then you do a study, and the study tells us what the real story is.
See the potential though of using this estimate, this chart, and spending $10,000 on a study, and then it comes back and it says there's not an impact of over 1,000 a day, whatever it may be. And you already require that business to spend the money.
Should be grateful at that point because there's no mitigation required that you go out with you.
But you're going to have a business, a physician, an insurance agent, somebody who just is going to say, I'm not going to spend the $10,000, I'm not going to do it. That will not do that.
How do we get it? I mean,
well, I think you do that by not putting that threshold still too low.
Well, to take into account what you all are saying, if you think that's, because there are going to be pass-bys, and you're not going to know that, because, so once let's
say, you do the study.
Right, so you do the study, instead of 1,000 trips it's generating, you find out, oh, it's only going to generate actually the original 500 trips.
Right.
And then your mitigation and everything else is going to be based on the 500. And you may find out nothing is needed based on that. What Tad's saying, then you've already spent the money, but that's what part of this process
that's the
is all about.
Where, that's where, is it 1,000 or is it 2,000?
Well, and that's what you all need to decide tonight.
That's the question.
Right. What threshold do we start?
When somebody developed this table, does any of this take into consideration of, you know, pass-bys and stuff? It seems like if it's a standard, or, you know, you've got some percentages and stuff. So that's, each one of these is based on individual trips at this kind of facility, and
that's correct.
Nothing has been included in
that's correct. Because each business is going to have a different type of pass by. It could be the same business, but depending on where it's located, there may be more pass bys in other locations.
That's kind of what I'm thinking is if you take 1,000 and as a sort of a standard of 43% or 30%, then that number's actually 1,300 or 1,500, some number that in a sense takes that into consideration. Going into it. So if you're over 1,300, 1,500, whatever number comes out to be, then there's a reasonable likelihood that when you get the study back, there is going to be a need for some mitigation, or you come pretty close to whatever this chart says.
So some of these numbers right here are pretty small. How do you go from these numbers here to 1,000 trips? Like take a general office, a daycare center. 1,000 square feet, it's a threshold for greater than 100 trips. What does that mean? How do you?
One unit, 1,000 square feet will create 100 trips.
100 trips. Okay.
It creates what then? What did you say?
One unit is 1,000 square feet will create 100 trips. Those numbers are in inverse, the reverse of.
I think actually you take that. So I hope I'm right. You take that number in the far right hand column.
Yeah, 20.
So a general office
would be 9,000 square feet.
900.
Yeah, we generate.
So that's what you said. Okay, so we
have 900 trips for 1,000.
Yeah.
So a single family home generates how many trips?
Each home generates 10 trips. So 10 homes would generate 100 trips.
So that has a 10 next to it, but a daycare center has a 1 per 1,000 square feet.
It's 100. That redev is 100. That's what I was trying to say. The numbers are in reverse. each 1,000 square feet is a unit. And a unit is 100 trips. So the 1 stands for 100.
Does the 10 stand?
And if it has 8 on there, it's 800 trips. Yes.
For one house?
It's one unit. Yes, it's 10 trips a day is the average.
I thought we had a difference.
So you don't add a zero to that number?
So residential's not an add?
It's a unit all by itself, yeah.
The title of the call is threshold for greater than 100 trips. So 10 houses is going to generate, is a threshold for greater than 100 trips. As it turns out, based on what Mr. Luke Duke said, each house generates 10 trips. So 10 houses are going to generate 100 trips.
If you have 1,000 square foot gross, that's what it sells for.
I want to go back because I'm a little confused with the comment made a little bit earlier. I think what I heard was that if we decide that it's 1,000 trips to generate a study, and we do the study, and the study says whatever is going to get developed is going to create, let's say, 500 trips, and we determine that 43% of these are bypassed, and we're going to start to play with those numbers. And I'm not sure that's the way a traffic engineer would work. I think once you actually look at what that particular project is doing, those are the numbers. I don't think you subtract from those. I don't think you take away what's already there.
You can't.
You're talking about adding.
You can't hold the businessman captive to existing problems.
Sure you can. That's the purpose behind the whole problem. There are some properties that can't get developed at certain places because they will make traffic untenable. Hopefully not very many. But
if he puts you over the threat, if he puts it over the threshold, then he has to make improvements.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or decide that he doesn't want to spend the money on whatever the impact is. Okay. So in a way, this ordinance, however it ends up developed, could convince or deter a business from developing in the area that he or she wants to.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
And is that our purpose?
I would think.
No.
That's one purpose, that we're trying to avoid overuse and overcrowding and over congestion. And
If it's fixed, then supposedly it won't be overcrowded and overcongested. If it isn't fixed, it would be.
One problem we've got, though, and this is where it gets complicated, we're all talking about Whiskey Road. And Whiskey Road has got 70% of it's in the county. So and it's most of it's developed. You look at the bad areas of Whiskey Road and all the cut trap through and all that stuff. If we put it so onerous that the guy got it and he'll stay in the county, that's part of our problem here. We're trying to be reasonable to make sure that they want to come in so we can get the landscaping done, so we can get the curb cuts done away with. But if we make it to where it can't be developed, they're going to stay in the county. I mean,
Whiskey Road's sort of maxed out anyway, isn't it?
Well, but it's maxed out 70% of the town, not quite.
Well, what about York Street?
Whiskey Road, first of all, not maxed out.
At some point.
Whiskey Road.
Well, no, it isn't. Of course, it isn't.
You go ahead.
Well, at some point, we would hope that if it costs too much money for the developer to build his facility on Whiskey Road, that he would think about York Street.
That may be true to some extent. The only thing that your land values are lower up at York Street maybe than they are at Whiskey. What the city's looking at is to find ways to relieve the existing traffic that's currently on Whiskey Road by putting in connector roadways, by putting in parallel roadway north-south, east of Whiskey Road.
And that's why we need to remedy the problem.
And then I think we need to try to encourage that 70% to try to come into the city so we can get the landscaping done, so we can get all the curb cuts done away with. That's a key component here, too.
I think the key factor in this whole thing, I've said it before, and I'll keep saying it again, it's foundational to this whole thing. What level of service are we willing to live in the city of A? Now, if you say E or F, then fine. You know, build anything and everything.
Go on.
But that's not realistic. Are we willing, do we really sincerely mean, as the ordinance says right now, that we want to stick with a level D service? LOS D. If that's the case, if we all agree to that, then what do we need to do to make that happen? I mean, if we don't agree to it, then where's that standard? What's going to happen with that traffic? Eventually, it's going to get bogged down. It's going to end up to be a meter and a half. I think it is going to continue to grow. Regardless of what happens at the site, it's growing 2.5% every year. To me, it's a future we're looking at, too. Not necessarily today, but we're looking out 5-10 years from now, and what's it going to be like?
If you walk up your main street, you're going to find people taking side streets, and you're going to be seeing speeding on residential streets and speed humps and all that kind of nonsense.
People will look for shortcuts to get to where they need to go.
So, you know, are we serious about saying we want to maintain a level D nonetheless? What can we do then to build something? Maybe it's not exactly what the developer or builder wants to build. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's a little bit smaller than it was intended. Or maybe it does have to go somewhere. But we don't want to push them out of county either, I understand.
Maybe we may need to build some infrastructure with connector roads.
Absolutely.
Well,
That takes off some of that. And we do.
How are we going to pay for that? And some of that has got to come from the new growth that is going to be set aside to do it. That's the only way to do it.
But roads take a long time to build. We know that. You're looking 10 years ahead for roads.
Several of us have talked about it. I think a source of funding is going to be the ones in sales tax. Look, Elizabeth Mabry, who heads up DOT, she was down in Aiken 3 years ago, make a presentation to a big group of folks, leaders from the community. She was talking about the lack of funding in South Carolina to fix bridges, to fix roads. She was in Aiken about a month ago, and I saw her, and I asked her if things had improved there. She says, no, it worse. So where in the world do we think we're realistically, where are we going to get the money from? You're not going to get it from the state. Look at the problem that's happening on Bobby Jones' extension. I mean, all of our delegation and focus has been on Bobby Jones. How many years is it going to take to get more money to finish that? Who knows? We need $60 million, $70 million.
If you look at the amount of traffic on Bobby Jones, look at the amount of traffic on Dolly Road, I can say for our next money.
Well, we've got money to work on some of those things. We're going to work on the intersections. We've got our money to go. We get about $3 million a year through ours. We have to split that between Arthur Gun State and Vernon County. And the way that Pine Log Road was widened saved that money. So we're headed out to widen the Pine Log Road. The way the bypass was completed saved the money over the years to do that. That's not new state money that came to us from federal money. We got through the normal channels. And we're working hard. We'll work a lot harder to try to get more money, but let's be realistic too. Where's it come from?
Well, let's get back to the question. If when we get a traffic impact study done, when I look at it, and I look at trips per day, I assumed that trips per day was what that was being generated by that business. Or I know it is with residential, but what we're saying, when we see that 1,000 trips per day embedded in that number, 43% is there already. And I mean, I need to know. I mean, I'd like to know that if that's what the traffic engineers are giving us. But I don't think that's what they're giving us.
I think you said something a minute ago that I'm a little confused too, but I think you said that the LOS of a road, does it not already include the pass-through trips?
Yeah, sure.
That's how you get to the LOS to start with. So what we're talking about is adding to that.
Yes.
Like you said, that 1,000 trips is new trips.
Okay, that's not what we're talking about.
Okay.
That's the only way
you can go ahead and get that is
to do it. You can't get that without a study.
Now, if you think that 1,000 is too low,
I personally think 1,000 is too low.
And that's what it really comes down to. If you're saying that you want to somehow factor in all these pass-through trips, like how many times do you get in your car just to drive from your house to get gas and then go back home? Very seldom.
Very seldom.
You know, it's usually on the way someplace else, you go ahead and get your gas. But again, a gas station is going to have a number of trips per day going in and leaving that gas station. The only way that we can go ahead and measure that is determine should the gas station need to have some kind of assistance is by looking at that table and determining based on the size of that gas station and what they're going to have there. Just gas alone, it's gas plus convenience, gas plus convenience, and maybe sell alcohol. All those different things factor in on how many trips that they will create. If you're concerned about these past few trips, and you think that's going to be a major factor, then you need to take that level of service and you said 1,000 and raise that up to something different.
The point, I think we're arguing about something that we require traffic impact done on the things that Annex and Whiskey Road. Everyone I've seen come in, the last two of them, required traffic impact statement. They required it because of the planning commission said, we want to see it, we want to know what's going on. So this thing about saying, well, you know, let's rave it up, you're going to have it done if it's over 4,000 square feet anyway. You see what I'm saying? I mean, the key is the mitigation. At what point does the extra traffic come?
The whole point has to do with, and Mayor Kavanaugh is exactly right, we do not, nobody here wants the level of service of Rogue Road to go below D. That is sitting through a lot there, typically. And what I'm saying is if we're going to put this threshold at 1,000, and that gas station, for example, comes in and it says that it's going to generate over 1,000 trips by your study, when the fact of the matter is the pass-by trips there will knock that down in half. The level of service on the road is not increased by 1,200. It's only increased by 500. And we can't stop the growth of Whiskey on an inflated number.
But won't the study tell you the real number? This is just to say whether you should do the study. Then you do the study, it might come out lower than 1,000. Then you don't worry about it.
I think that's what Tad said. And are we putting a threshold so low that everybody has to do a study on a single unit development when the fact of the matter is maybe the probability is they're not going to reach the 1,000 threshold?
But what I'm hearing and what I'm feeling is that we're trying to minimize the number of studies with the developers that want to develop in our town because the cost incurred. But we also want growth. We also want to maintain the integrity of our community. And you can't have it all. At some point in time, we're going to be saying no to people. And that's not what we're accustomed to, is saying no to development. So if that is the direction we need to go, we can't avoid the study. You've got to have some good numbers to work with. You can't play with this because you're always going to be one. You always have people challenging you with the numbers who don't have the study done.
Plus, it's not. We keep using them from developers. It's not developers that build everything.
Right.
Individual business people who build their own businesses or investors who build businesses. So it's just you and me go out and put up with something because we feel that there's a need for it in the community. So not everyone who's going to build something has the pockets to be able to pull out an $8,000 or $10,000 or $15,000 bill only to find out that the new traffic generated is only 500. Particularly if it's say somebody's relocating from Whiskey Road to up the street on Whiskey Road. You know, are they really making an impact on Whiskey Road by moving from one place to the other? So my suggestion is to factor into this number that 43% or 25% or whatever number the group feels is appropriate. To at least give them increase the probability that when their study comes back, it's not wasted money.
The key here is what is the reasonable threshold to begin with?
That's right.
And then let's move forward.
That's right. That's all we do. And I just threw it out for thought. I didn't know if y'all had thought about it. That's the only reason I mentioned it.
Well, then you're just
deciding whether you want to raise them 1,000 trips a day in D or 1,500, and that covers it.
Yeah. Right.
It's just a number. And folks, 1,000, there's no magic about 1,000 trips a day.
If you use 1,000 and you want to build a retail, and this is only on where the road is already a D, right? If it's a C, you got 2,000. It's only on a D, and the D road is Whiskey Road right now. Is that correct?
Right.
All right. So if it's 1,000 and you want to build a retail shop, that equates to what? 45,000 or something? What would that equate to?
Again, it depends on the type of retail shop it is.
Well, it's a,
if it's a grocery store, $45,000. If it's a furniture store, it might be $89,000.
Right. So you mean to tell me that if anybody walked in here and the planning commission said, I want to build a 45,000 square foot grocery store on Whiskey Road now with level D, we would not require a traffic study?
You wouldn't have to. The lender's going to require it.
All I'm saying is it would be the best course. But we would. I mean, so we say, and the traffic study will tell you what this traffic, the drive-bys are. I mean, I don't want any traffic study, but I think 1,000 is fine. I don't see why we need to. You see what I'm saying, Jim? I mean, it's 40, only on a D road. The C road is 2,000.
I don't have a dog in this. My dog in this fight is City A. I mean, we've always done traffic studies on every development we've ever done. There's always been that requirement.
And I guarantee you, if you do one on Whiskey Road, it's going to be road, you're going to do one if it's 45,000 square feet. It's already doing it now.
Right. This threshold is going to push us into very likely a type 1 study, not a type 2 study. And the type 1 study, the estimate I'm hearing here sounds like it's rather high.
Think what Roger Dyer said, between 2 and 8,000.
For a type 1, and could be.
It depends on what all these other things we get involved in, how far beyond the development are you going to go ahead and look at. What about mitigation?
Wider the study,
cost. You look X number of years beyond the development being built. Those are things that also you have to do more analysis and crank up more numbers.
If you compound the requirements, cost is going to go up.
So yeah, I'm more concerned about the distance from that site going way down the road. I think that really affects. I mean, that to me, that's what I'm concerned about. Is that we make it 2 miles down Whiskey Road and there's no way to make it.
Well, can we agree to get a consensus here to put out a number there? Did we do that?
Let's get the outside people.
Let's start with A. Does anybody think we need to have a traffic study for local service A?
No.
Zero.
Do we have any?
Yes. How about for level service B? Is it 3,000 too high, too low?
Let me ask you a question. How often does this level of service get adjusted?
We get adjusted.
Does the city do that?
I believe what we say every other year again. And if all of a sudden something major happened on the roadway, either because we put a new road in or a new development, then we'll do it at that development and complete it so there's no roadway in. But at least every other year.
Is there any finite number, at least in this city, as to how many trips would cause an intersection to go from D to A or from C to B?
No. Now, there's just so many different factors that would have to go into that.
Is there a map in the city right now that shows
what are A's, what are B's, what are C's, what are B's? Yes, we do have a map.
If you're going to look at overall level of service for the stretch of road, whatever it may be, 2 miles.
Well, we'll look.
Isn't this level of service the overall level?
Like Whiskey Road might have 3 miles.
It doesn't have an overall.
We're going to look at that segment that it's
where it's located.
That's correct.
Roger, the level of service map has to be updated at least twice a year. And within 6 months of the issuance of a building permit for any project with a type 1 or 2 study, at least twice a year it has to be updated.
And again, we can decide that as a group how often. I thought that's a type 1 that's supposed to be updated by you.
I did read by him.
By him.
By 32.
Well, I I still feel like they need to be bumped up by some 40% roughly. To account for those.
Yeah, they're not going to be the same on every street. I mean, it might be 40% on Whiskey Road, but it might be every percentage on Pine Lawn.
That's exactly correct.
This is why, if you look at a lot of cities, they'll say 1,000 trips above traffic study. It doesn't really matter where the road was at. We thought, let's take it and look at it, maybe a little bit more logically, and say, if it's already it's a B or C, that development it should be a higher threshold level. Now, whether 3,000 is a good number or not, again, there's no rhyme or reason why it's get 3.
On the D road, I think you also have to take into consideration the traffic mix. Because I learned if you get there from downtown Eaton, which I think we could describe as Long Street or something, the big trucks can't get there. But big trucks, they're 63 feet long. They take up a lot of space. And they have access to 19 from the bypass south and from 19 north, and then Route 1 north from the bypass. These are things you've got to take into consideration. It's not all motor cars. It's trucks. It's buses.
When they look at a level of service, they look at a number of things, not just the amount of traffic. How wide are the shoulders? Is there curb and gutter? Is it an open ditch? Is it not? They look at a number of factors when they look at this. And that's all taken into account when they have done this for level of service A, B, C. B, how many do you think is a good number? You want to stay with 3,000? You want to go higher number, lower number?
I think 3,000 is good. I see that. Yeah. Over 3,000. I mean, if it's over 3,000, they should be, studies. I mean, that's a good bit of traffic. Okay.
2,000 then for a C?
More for me.
Jim, you better speak up if you know where we're going here.
Yes. It's 2,500, 2,000. 3,000, 2,500, 2,000. Because a D-level road is a multi-lane road. A lot of our A and B roads probably are two lanes. I don't know that for a fact. I need to look at your map. I can see.
Yeah, like New York Street's four lanes. Pine Lawn's all four lanes now. Good bit of Silver Bluff. The only two lane roads that we have the traffic problems on is the bypass and some of those.
Right. Roger, I just don't want it to be an impediment to the man coming out there, the single use user, a sit down restaurant. For example, a high-end restaurant that goes out to Whiskey Road that wants to come do business in our town, and he's going to generate over that. He's going to generate that threshold. It's going to be over 1,000 of whiskey per day. And I know from my experience and from historical perspective, and the Trip Generation book will tell you, I mean, on that level of service road, he's going to generate about 43% of his traffic is passed by traffic. They're not coming there just for the restaurant. They're doing other things while they're there. And that could make that man not come to you. And there wouldn't be a reason for us to not, he should be able to come to Aiken and do business. And if we take that number, and it's 1,400, but 43% of his trips are passed by, we've increased our LOS on that road. When we put that number in, we're going to get to where we pass the D, and then we've got an inflated number that's not really true on the LOS of D, and we're going to stop people from coming there, and that's what we don't want to do. That's the fear. That's the only fear that I have.
What won't happen is they won't say, I can't go on Whiskey Road, so I'm going to go to York Street.
They're going to go where the rooftops are. You can't direct
commercial. Traffic and the rooftops are going to generate the location.
Now, if you set that number too high, don't you also run the risk of business coming in that causes traffic problems for the rest of the community and gets a free ride because that particular business doesn't have to worry about an impact?
I would agree with that.
We're trying to.
That's the number. That's why we need to get to that number. That's why it's a critical number.
It would seem as though we should err on the side of doing the study.
Let me just
prove one way or another rather than setting the number up so high that we don't even do the study.
And, you know,
the other mayor's comment. How are we going to pay for this? How are we going to pay for these roads? And the one thing I think we do need to, if we're going to spend the money on, if we're going to say we're going to have these fees, somebody has to help pay for the road. And by God, we better spend it on it, and we can't. I think that's the law. I think the law says you've got to spend it on it. And the other thing, the city, somebody needs to stand up to these people and say, listen, we will do these three things, and we're going to use that money for it. And I think the traffic impact needs to take that into consideration. In other words, if we're going to have a connector coming off of Dougherty Road, and we know we're committed to that, then we need to factor that in when you're talking about how we're going to alleviate the traffic. It's not fair. If he can help pay for it, then we need to give him credit for it somehow down the line. But we need to stand up to the plate and say, we're going to get these roads done and give them credit for it. But somebody's got to pay for this. So the higher we make it, there's no impact fee. Yeah,
the business, as I understand it, the business is only paying for the mitigation that particular business is causing.
Let me ask this.
Some business
question.
Coming in.
When you look at the several thousand cars, for example, that leave their homes early in the morning and go to Savannah Riverside and come back, is that part of the...
Yes.
Peak hour.
Those people are not stopping. They're generating traffic, but they're going through. They're not stopping anywhere in the morning. It's too early to stop.
That's one of the 9 or 10 trips per day that your household has generated. Yeah. Let me give you a real example that may help you on some of these numbers. We just got in.
Just ask one question first since I get this number in my head and I don't want to forget it. This is your specific question in the restaurant. If I go back and if I learn how to use this chart, if I go down to a quality restaurant, that's a one. So a 1,000-foot quality restaurant will generate 100 trips. So therefore, it will take a 10,000-square-foot restaurant to hit the threshold. Now, is a 10,000-square restaurant rather large? It's going to be a big investment. It's not going to be... We take a 10,000-square-foot restaurant to... Is that right?
I really don't know about the chart.
I mean, if this is a chart we're going to use,
what would you estimate?
That's where I'm coming from.
An 8,000 square foot restaurant would have built on Whiskey Road would cost. What would be the investment on an 8,000 square foot restaurant on a prime piece of Whiskey Road property?
So we're talking about a $2,000 study on living in two development. How many percent is that?
Let me give you a real example of what we just had that kind of answers Jim's question on when a study is needed or not. We just got in a traffic study for Deodoro Plantation. Deodoro Plantation is on the east side of town off of Pine Log Road.
Beautiful.
In the ball fields. It's going to exit onto Banks Mill Road and onto the extension of Pine Log Road, which is now called the Loge, but it used to be Pine Log Road that went out towards Owens Corning. That's 113 acres. That's about 250 homes that are going to be in that development. At around 9.5 trips per home, it'd be under that 2,500 threshold that we're talking about, and it's going to exit onto Banks Mill Road, which right now is at a level service B. It wouldn't even make it into this as a requirement to do a study based on those criteria. Now, the study is showing that the exit onto Banks Mill Road is going to have an exclusive left-hand turn and a right-hand turn, even though most traffic can turn onto Banks Mill Road headed north. They're also saying that at this intersection that Banks Mill Road comes at, so you're going south on Banks Mill Road, you're getting ready to turn that development, you're going to have an exclusive left-hand turn lane to get in there. Now, the developer might have done that anyways, may not have done that, but the study shows that some improvements are going to be made on the existing road and some improvements are going to be made on Banks Mill Road for this development. If the threshold becomes too high, a study like that would not have been done for the Adora Plantation. Now, on the other hand, it's probably about an $8,000 or $10,000 study. It's 50, 60 pages long.
Right. Cedar Creek just did one, and they did a study, and they spent several thousand dollars, and there was no need to do any improvements because of...
So you're not going to know what improvements are necessary to do the study.
But if the
threshold becomes too high, a place like that would not have been required to have a study done. And there's going to be about 250 homes in that development.
113 acres.
But it sort of goes back to Pat's point, is the planning commission or somebody, the city council, is requiring these, even though they're not an ordinance.
The reason why we're requiring them is because we want to know.
Oh, I know.
We want to know what kind of proofs. I mean, I think we're beating a dead horse here. I think the key here is that when you have the level service D, you know that if you're going to build anything major, you're going to have a traffic impact. And it's important planning. You got to know. You got to know what improvements you want that developer to make, to make sure that that even his project is done. If you don't do that, we're going to end with Whiskey Road.
The developers are talking to you to do that, because what I hear all the time is location, access.
Pat, what are you proposing for city?
I thought 3,000.
Three, two, one.
Why don't we stay with 3-2-1 for right now? Let's get into the next few sections.
This is the hard one.
I think this is the easy one here.
Oh, this is the easy one.
Yeah, get it out of the way.
Because export should be easy.
The next one here is what time should the study be completed? Should it just look at the build-out of the development? The way it currently is written, you're looking 5-10 years beyond the build-out. In other words, you're trying to project what the traffic's going to look like on Dale Road and what
it's going
to
look like. Build-out.
Everybody feel comfortable with build-out?
Build-out.
I've got a question then. Who says it's build-out? How does the city know?
Because the plan is complete.
Well, again, when the study is done, because the study is going to be done long before a proper building, they're going to have to project. Again, like I said, traffic engineering is not an exact science. So you're projecting. We think that residential development at Woodside can be built out hopefully 5 years, or 7 years, or 8 years, and you're going to make a projection. Same thing with commercial. And that's going to be on the developer and the traffic engineer. We're saying at the time of build-out.
Build-out right now.
Build-out.
That's a hard path.
We've done pretty well. But we took a half hour.
Item number three is the study area. Again, some cities require it just to be looked at the area where development can be made, or other ones will look at it beyond the area to determine this traffic that's being generated, is that going to cause a problem at the next major intersection, which may be a quarter, half mile down the road. And this is a very important one, because if you look at the study and you look at just the development itself, mitigation and cost and what it's going to take, it's going to be one thing, but if you start looking a quarter, half mile down the road, there's going to be some other major costs that could possibly be involved. So where do we go with this one?
Well, I don't think that there's any question of what you can't just study the piece right around the traffic is on the entire road. You've got to have to look out to those other intersections at least a quarter of a mile, and in some instances a half mile. And don't forget these figures we got for a half and a quarter are really worked down from what we had originally, which was like a mile and a half mile.
We were based
on our original works, and they do make sense. Even there's some people I think who would argue that you got to study that whole road every time.
But I guess my question is, that just an arbitrary number that somebody's come up with, is it based on some study like the
No,
there are no national standards for traffic ordinances or traffic studies. They just look at a number of other communities and what they have.
The wider you go, the more likely that you create the mitigation. And you're going to end up, in my opinion, you're going to end up potentially collecting to mitigate the same problem multiple times with multiple developments. Plus, you're also going to have the potential to mitigate an issue that cannot be mitigated. And the city is just getting into this let's start collecting a bunch of money for Whiskey Pine Hall. As many people as we can get to be that intersection in the study, we're going to start collecting on that.
It's like money you need to spend, you give it back. You need to spend it on what the study says you have to spend it on.
It's an extortion, in my opinion. If you cause somebody to pay money for something that can't be fixed,
and you wouldn't charge them any money if it can't be fixed.
Let's keep those separate issues. That's all based on how far out you go. The further out you go and the more problem intersections you draw into the development, whatever it may be, then more likely that investor or individual, whoever is building the project, is going to have to pay mitigation fee.
But again, even if that were so, and I'm not going to go there too far, but even if that were so, you probably wouldn't be able to mitigate some of these. You'd probably have to stop the project. You can't do it. What we talk about now is you've got to find out the impact on the road, figure out the mitigation later.
I know, but it sounds like we're trying to create ways to stop the problem.
No, not at all.
Whether it's the lower the threshold or the increase the distance that you have to go.
The goal of the ordinance is to ensure that the traffic on Athens roads does not drop below level 7 feet.
But I have no control over these plots down the street 5 feet, much less 500 feet. So I should only be responsible for mitigating and solving the problem that I can actually do on my piece of property. So it shouldn't, you know, by going out half a mile, a quarter mile, 10 feet, I can't create a solution necessarily for that problem, whatever it may be.
You say that you intersect 500 yards down the road, you should.
You can create the problem.
But everybody else on that street is contributing to that problem.
Well, if the professional traffic engineer who does the study says that your project is going to cause a problem at this intersection and that intersection and this intersection, then there has to be some type of traffic impact.
But it's the building school. The school's not going to have the money to do that. The building a medical facility, a hospital. We keep talking about this retail, and we keep talking about this, but it's not always that way. And I just think it's a strong on fact to get money out of a current developer or a current business person putting up a building for a problem that is both been created over a long period of time by everyone. Everybody said it's tables to get into that problem. And it's also going to go into the future. It's not, there's going to be others behind us.
Okay, you don't have a problem until you introduce more traffic. You got a level of service, it's fine. Everything's doing well, and then you introduce more traffic.
I've got a question. If you have a business within 100 feet of Pine Log and Whiskey, and you have 100 feet from there, or let's say you're a quarter mile in 100 feet, or whatever, and there is no solution for Pine Log and Whiskey. I mean, that's really the worst interchange we have in this town. Everybody has figured it out, but it is. What's the solution for that? The guy's going to be building if it's a half mile, he's a half mile down Whiskey Road, and he's even in the county. Okay, he's in the county. We want him to come into city. He's going to build a 10,000 square foot restaurant. And you say your mitigant is to put up, I don't know, 200,000, whatever the hell, the numbers to try to solve a problem that's unsolved. That's where I kind of agree with you. I don't understand how we do that. I'm concerned about how we solve that problem the longer we make Whiskey Road. Now, I can see it's got to go further, slightly further than where you're at, but going a half a mile, and you're trying to solve a problem at that major interchange, and you're never going to get those people coming to the city. You can forget it.
Roger just said that we're interested in the level of service, where that development's going to be on that section of the road. But yet, we're going way over here.
I suppose it drops the level of service way over here, though.
I understand what it is, but if it's not, it can't be fixed. I mean, it's just not the responsibility, it's not the responsibility of the person who builds that, whatever it may be, to fix a problem that's been there and has been put in place. place over a number of years. I think it's
I maintain you don't have a problem if you've got a level of D. You don't have a problem until you introduce more traffic that then lowers the level of service.
But that's not what
you're riding along fine, everything's great, you've got a level of service D on your road, and all of a sudden something happens somewhere, quarter mile, wherever it may be, caused that level of service to drop to a level of service E. So are you saying, Ted, that you don't think you should be responsible for that?
No.
Even though it's lowered to
no, because you're telling me to mitigate that entire problem.
Well, who
am I putting in a turn lane that Whiskey and Pine Knoll can't be put in? So you can't do it. It's impossible. So fill the car first, and we'll let you slide.
Well, I didn't say fill the car first.
We haven't even got it. That's basically what it says. Pay the fee, and we'll let you do it.
I don't think this is doing it that way.
Mr. Mayor, if you mitigate it like this, Atlanta Regional Commission, Metro Atlanta, we develop over there, do shopping centers in the Metro, and we have to deal with Greta and the ARC over there, which they have certainly have a little more traffic than we do. It's over 4 million people there. They require a study. When it's over $300, they require a study. But they make us, when we're over a threshold of 300,000 feet, they make us study interchanges in this area, a quarter of a mile to a half mile from our project. And that, we don't put up money when we study those. We identify a potential problem that could be there down the road, and your 1 cent sales tax money should be fixing that, because that's not my problem, that's everybody that's using that road's problem. And all those people that are there should be helping pay for that interchange, because if they weren't on it, it may not be there. So ARC says, they tell us to identify a problem, or identify that, whereas you've had the study done, you have identified potential problems down the road, and at that point, at some point, if there is an improvement to be made there, it is not done by the developer. It is done by the entity.
So then the taxpayers are responsible.
I would think that because it's everybody is using that road.
Let me separate this into two pieces. One is to say, let's make the study go out to all the intersections, okay? That's the study. And then whatever has to be done to mitigate, the developer only has to pay for the mitigation of the improvements that have to be made in front of his property. If it's that intersection down the road, the study's pointed out to the city what we have to go fix. Don't play on that developer. But anything in his area.
That's your point, Jim. And if we knew that we were going to have this sum of money coming in every year, once it's satisfied, we don't even know that it will be approved again. I'm sure hoping it will, because there's a lot of traffic things. But if you had a source of money coming in, then probably no problem with it at all. But suppose you don't. Suppose once the sales tax didn't pass. So then you've got to look for money somewhere else.
Well, that was going to be my point. Why, then you do begin to look for ways of developing that money. Other than holding
this
but realistically, Steve,
you've got to make hard choices in the budget. Is that we want flowers and we want roads? You weigh that and you have to
We had a situation with storm. And I contended the new subdivision put in stormwater, and they took care of the runoff or whatever. We got a major problem with stormwater in the old city of Bacon, going down the Whiskey, going down the Hitchcock Woods, and all the taxpayers are going to have to eat that, including everybody who's out on the south side that's had a new subdivision that's been controlling water. We have a water impact fee. To me, that's a fair thing. We have to stand politically and say, folks, we got a traffic problem here. And we need to solve it and look them dead in the eye and say, everybody's contributing, and we got to have some fees for this, and maybe a traffic impact fee of some sort, $3.50, whatever it is. That, to me, is some way to look them in the eye and say, if you want to get your traffic, now if you don't want it, put it on the dang gone about. They want level service E or F, and they want to pay for roads. Have a happy day. We'll all stand in line for 3 hours trying to get to an intersection. To me, that's a fairer way than to say, last man in, fix it.
I don't think it's an added tax, Jay. I think that it needs to be try to put it in that in your one cent tax provision.
We try, but that's also years down the road, and that's a finite settlement. When we start talking some of these fixes, they're multi-million dollar.
You can, I don't know anything.
You can raise money starting next fiscal year. Millage increase, you have to do it, or $10 per vehicle registration fee, or some way you can start pretty quickly to do that. And everybody's contributing, everybody needs
to. And if you do it that way, all development stops until the mayor gets his pot of money to do his project. So nothing happens. Well, you can't have it both ways. You can't build a project that's going to mess up an intersection.
Sure you can.
How can we do that? If I build my house,
no response.
In fact, it's traffic in front of your house. Why should I come to your house and say, I've got a wide road in front of your house, and you can say, no, you can't, because you can't have my property.
The whole purpose of this ordinance is to mitigate traffic impact caused by
person who's doing it that day.
You all are trying to solve the mitigation part. We're not even to that part yet.
Yeah. I understand that leads to the next question. I think what you do is
well, again, all we're saying is, should we go ahead and study? What should we study?
I want to ask a question. Would the length of mitigation or the be the same on all levels of service?
The study area would be different depending on if you have a study one or a study two.
So what could be from, if you build something in the middle of a block on Whiskey Road and you have to do the study to the closest intersections on both sides, that doesn't necessarily mean that at level of service B, you would do that.
That's correct. It all depends on the size of the development and the type of road that you're building.
So if a developer thinks, or a builder of anything, a restaurant, thinks that it's important to his business, that his business will be more successful if he builds on Whiskey Road, where he had to pay more money for his real estate because it's higher there than it is on Buford Drive or whatever, then he should expect these other expenses as well, and he expects a return on his investment.
Fix Whiskey and Pine Rock, or fix any other intersection, he has no control of.
But we're still, you're on mitigation issue, and that's really a separate question.
Let's go to this question here. This study, what should be the limit of the area they're going to study? We're not talking about who's going to pay, what's going to be done with this study, but the study itself. Are we going to ask that it just go to the edge of the development, 1/4 mile beyond it, 1/2 mile beyond it?
What do you pick, a half or a quarter? It should depend on what the roadway is there. You might want to say
it's
a quarter of a mile or to the next major intersection, whichever is less.
Yeah, and that's what the ordinance now says.
Okay.
And it all depends on what level of study that is based on the size of the development and the level of service of the roadway.
And that's where we need to go, Roger, because that was my thought in terms of where is that next intersection.
So and that stay with the 1/4 and 1/2 mile as currently proposed.
Right.
Okay. We're now probably to the major one, now that Ted has to leave.
I'll stay 2 more minutes. Sorry.
No, we gotta go.
Your son's on?
The major case is mitigation. Okay, we've done a study. The study says a couple different things, and let's give some hypothetical situations. We just had a project come into the city. This is not hypothetical, between CVS and where the Armory is at. They're going to be building some shops at Blue, as they call it. The study made some specific improvements that needed to be done. None of them major, at the intersection itself, which is Centennial Drive and Whiskey Road. It's right at the development itself. Should the developer of that piece of property make the necessary improvements at that location?
How many trips a day was there?
Doesn't matter.
No, I just wondered.
Should the developer make improvements that are related to the development at the development itself? We're not going a quarter mile, we're not going a half mile.
And it's called...
I think if it's his property, definitely yes, because he controls that.
None of the roads are his property.
No, but he can get the right of way. He can drive the right of way.
This is a problem already existing.
Yeah, correct. This is the one where the study said the problem already existed.
I would say no, simply no.
If it already existed, no.
If the problem already existed, no. But the problem didn't already exist.
Did his project put it over a threshold?
In this particular case, the southbound lane traffic going south of Whiskey Road wanting to turn eastbound onto Centennial, they're stating that a left-hand turn signal is needed. Should he be required to go ahead and put up a five-head traffic signal and pay for any change that needs to be done in the controller?
And his project is in that intersection?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think he should.
I do too.
I mean, he's got
the problem is today,
to be able to do that.
Before he does anything. And I don't think it should have to be.
No, that's exactly what we said.
So. It's the city has to give him a decent intersection to start with.
So if the development causes the problem that needs to have an improvement at the development itself, can we all agree that the developer should pay for it? Think about that.
I think it's in the best interest that the smart developer will do that because one of his promotional pieces is the site is accessible to the people who are going to be there.
But there's a difference between a left turn signal and a 20 foot right of way in a widening road that he can't get. If it's an item that he's got the ability and the control to be able to do it, I think so. If he can't not, through no fault of his own, be able to mitigate it, then he should not take it.
Is it the right side
of him? The right turn signal is and he's got the ability to do that, assuming DOT would give him that signal. Now, what if DOT turns him down? Do you kill development? That's out of his control. I don't think you kill the development.
I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think so.
Well, because of... Depends, I guess, on what the rest of the traffic load is.
But we do need to talk together and try to figure out something. If that can't be a mitigating factor, then we need to see what other ones we can have. Because we don't, I mean, look at how many businesses. I mean, there aren't that many, but I can pick five or six buildings where the businesses have not succeeded because it's just too hard to get into the place. It's just too darn hard. And so this is for the builders and the businessmen.
If it happens, they can come back a year later and DOT and say, there is a problem here and we need to turn lane. Then it gets put in.
But that's why you have an escrow provision in some instances if they can't do it right away.
Well, I don't know that you don't know that that's going to happen ever.
You can't
project in the future what may or may not happen. I don't believe that you can tax somebody on something they can't do. And it's ultimately what it is.
And it's a tax if you take it and don't use it for the purpose it's intended. It's not a tax if you assess it.
But it said you can pay that money, you can use it for something for traffic.
No,
only for those specific items.
That's a good point.
That's a good law says you can't do that.
Okay, let's continue down the same road here. We're going off on a different trail.
All right, sorry to upset the last guy.
That's probably what you're doing.
If the development, the traffic study goes beyond that area and it shows that at the next major intersection, an improvement has to be made at that intersection. It goes beyond the development. Let's take the same development now, and we go down to Doherty Road. It's within a half mile of that development. And that shows that some improvement needs to be made there. I can't think of anything right now, but some improvement needs to be made at Doherty Road because there was that much traffic that was being generated at the shops in Wilson. And you can do that improvement. Are you going to make the developer pay for those improvements?
It's a bad example.
It is.
Doherty already
needs so bad.
The improvements if we're planning on. And I think we're going to run into that quite often.
But Doherty Road.
But we're already.
Okay, I'll come up with another example then. They're getting ready to the old Seafood Price property. This is the one that's near Target. Commercial development's going to be put on the very front of it. There's a light up at Brookhaven. And let's say some left-hand turn movements need to be put in there because of the amount of traffic coming out of commercial development that's going to be put in along Whiskey Road. Should the developer, even though he's not joining that property, pay for that improvement?
But the left-hand turn lanes are going into his property to get advantage for him.
And his property is going to be its own traffic signal. But we're now going off his property up to Brookhaven near Target, about a quarter mile north of where that development is going to be occurring.
And the left turn lane would be a benefit for him, or what would be?
The amount of traffic now coming from that development needing to turn to Brookhaven is going to increase to the point where we're down to about 10 turning here.
My sense is that if this project causes a traffic problem, it should be mitigated by whoever is causing the problem. I don't care where it is.
I'm going to be the devil's advocate on this. I understand what you're saying. Let's say that is at 99% the threshold to cause that left-hand turn lane, and he is just increasing that turn movement by two more cars a day, and that puts it over the level. Do you make the developer pay for something off-site?
If the intersection is acceptable before the development and there's no problem, then yes. If there's a problem, then the city should fix it, and the development should not.
Is there a way, Roger, on mitigation that percentages do it? I mean, it's hard. If it's at 99%, and if he gets to one,
there's the one law that states that it's proportional to your project.
In other words, if he got 1%, he goes over, he's got to fix an entire
And I would hate to, from a staff standpoint, because you make it a 95% level, 90% level, 90%. What level do you make it?
I think.
And this is where I think Pat comes in here and says, impact fee, put it on the once in sales tax, millage. How do you pay for these improvements that are going to be off-site, that we know are going to be needed?
If it's proportional, I think that's when you should. If it's all or nothing, that's what my concern about the final whisper. That, to me, is going to be, that's going to hurt getting anything done. On the proportional,
I could agree with that. Again, some different.
How do you measure proportional
to the? I'm having a problem with the distance from my project, but any impact I incur should be proportional. That's state law. Be proportional to my.
Last end, this is getting struck.
Yeah. I mean, that's in writing in state law.
That's not bad.
But Steve, you're saying that there's a proportion of it. That
will there should be.
Is that what I'm saying? The point I'm making is any impact he pays should be proportional. I think we've agreed he should fix what's in front of this project. Right. Where I'm having trouble when it's a quarter mile, half right. mile down the road. Right. But if we do agree that he should fix, be responsible for a quarter mile down, it should be proportional.
Just proportional. Right.
Not to fix the total
2%.
In other words, he puts the money in the coffers. If you don't use it in 5 years, he gets it back.
Roger.
Yes.
Let's look at Whiskey Road, and I believe you said 70% of the property.
60% of Whiskey
Road. What happens if I'm doing a development inside the city, and I do the traffic study, and simultaneously someone is developing a piece of property in the county close to where I am because it goes in and out so often, Whiskey Road. Now, and they don't require anything from us, no water, no sewer, no anything. And they're going to be generating traffic as well. Now, how do we deal with that, with the in-city development and the county development? How do we deal with what contributes to the traffic on the road?
Going to contribute, and again, this is what Pat was saying, that projects outside the city will contribute to the traffic problem. We have no way of dealing with it if it doesn't come to the city.
Would the city have several good models? I think, though, given the nature of Whiskey Road, it's a good thing that people do come inside the city to take advantage of sewer and water and in the meantime, they do have to do the impact study. But just being the devil's advocate, you do have someone who may decide, I'm not going to deal with that.
especially since it's been in the paper so much. I'm not going to deal with that. I'll deal with whatever I have to do to not have to come into the city. And they, in turn, will be contributing to traffic along with the project that I want to do. And may take it over such that I may have to fix the road for his development. And that will happen.
We have been negotiating for 2 years now an overlay district for Whiskey Road for that very kind of purpose. I would hope that we're going to get that moving along here in the next few months because, yeah, we got to get the county, and we've got to work with the county, they've got to work with us to make sure that Whiskey Road is developed under the same sort of rules its entire life.
I think we got a chance to get over this as far as landscaping, as far as land use plan, or whatever. And we start saying in that county residents don't start paying traffic impact, you wouldn't even see it come out of that county. I mean, it's going to be zoomed in for sure. But anyway, I know
the county doesn't have any money to mitigate.
I know, but when you start talking about treating certain county residents different than the other county residents, you run into a thing. I'm just telling you, it happened for a reason. The reason it happened was the fact that we gave our water away. If we can control our water, what I worry about is Wellington's water coming all the way up to our water now. And if we make it so tough from Chucker Creek Road on in and develop, New Wellington wants every business they can stand from there all the way to Wellington. That's what I'm concerned about. In other words, we solve our problem, but guess what? You know, Lowe's didn't come to the city. Lowe's was out there the first one. The reason why it didn't have a tree in front of it was in the county. And don't kid yourself, there's a lot of land from Chucker Creek Road all the way to New Wellington that Walmart's and Lowe's or whatever go in there and put time to the water. So that's where the balance comes in. But I think that most people need water and sewer to do the type of development we're talking about. Even the ones that are 60%, I believe, over the next 5 or 10 years, you're going to see things torn down on Whiskey Road because of the traffic that we've got. And if we can solve our problems, you're going to start seeing redevelopment. And if we do the connectors, it's going to even help.
Yes.
It's going to help.
Yes.
But that's the proportional thing, Steve, is reasonable to me.
How does everybody feel about the proportional amount that any improvement a quarter, half mile, the nearest intersection, those improvements would be proportional to how much is contributed?
That's fair. It
also sounds like we're following the law.
Let's find the exact wording.
Yeah, based on what Maria said earlier, that would mean that a lot of those projects just won't get done. I mean, if the city doesn't have its 90%, and has to, and you know it's going to take you several years, and if you had the money, you'd spend it somewhere else, then you wouldn't assess the business any impact.
Well, you'd assess them if you don't use
it. You're going to have to look at the funding and see what how we can.
It's not going to be in 5 years.
It's either 3 or 5 years.
Yeah. You still assess them, but it's not usually 3 or 5 years.
You know,
yeah.
I think with it, but the county has $10 a vehicle tax for road maintenance. We may have to do something like that. Plus, the one set of taxes. I don't think there's any question that that's going to have to happen. We can't fix all the problems. You know, we're getting off track again. We can't fix all the problems just by having new businesses pay for traffic problems. The road problems are going to happen now and into the future.
I can understand.
They need to do their share, but they can't do it all.
We wrap this up in 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, that's the crux of what we have here. There's other issues in the ordinance that we probably need to deal with, and we could go ahead and redevelop some of this. What I would like is any comments or any thoughts you have on other portions of the ordinance, other than what we talked about here, that you would like to see some possibility of change, that you give those to Ed or myself and we can deal with it.
Yeah. Do you have a copy of this South Carolina Development Impact Fee Act?
Yeah.
Yes.
We did.
Okay. Well, a lot of these issues are
which would have nothing to do with this here as long as we don't have the impact fees.
See, we eliminated the impact fee per se from the ordinance last year.
Okay.
If we go with the impact fee, then we'd have to follow that. We did the same thing with
the ordinance that was brought up to us did have fees associated with development.
But that was originally.
Yeah,
and in a way, that could still be a very good thing to be thinking about. In the future, it's going to be one of the ways of funding the improvements that are needed.
And this is a new law that they passed?
I don't know. No, this is about 7 or 6, 7 years old.
And it has?
It's very specific.
Forgive that. We don't follow any water effect that we don't.
How difficult would it be for us to get copies of what other cities in South Carolina have passed? I would be interested in knowing. I mean, I know how Greenville gets its roads and all of those kinds of things, but if they have this ordinance, I'd like to see what they say.
How many are like?
Addressing.
How many cities?
Just the ones that have the ordinance.
There's six to eight of them.
A couple of them are working on them right now. I think there's six.
Three, six, eight.
Two or three would be fine. I'd just like to see.
In that regard, I've got my own views about Hilton Head. It was Hilton Head, is not Acres. It has a lot of senior citizens, as does Acres. But Hilton Head is not a through traffic situation. Acres is a through traffic situation. And I come back again to this mix of vehicles that's on the road, because the vehicles are getting bigger. You've got rigs now which can come on the state highways 50, 63 feet, 65 feet long. Gross weight, if they're legal, 40 tons. If they're in good condition and the driver's alert, it still takes them 335 feet to come to a halt. You've got coaches too, you take just under 300 feet to come along. So I think all these things have to be taken into consideration. And following Councilman Clyburn's comments about looking at other cities in the state, I think I would like to see ones where you've got a similar situation, through traffic situation, maybe similar size if that's possible. But Hilton Head is not, I don't think Hilton Head is a good example.
No, it's not.
Well, I think Greenville has one.
You got to listen here. There's Greenville, Spartanburg, Greer.
Greer, Spartanburg.
Mount Pleasant.
I've done business in Mount Pleasant. I don't think that's true. Why don't we get copies for everybody?
Well, I think it's, Greenville's a larger city, but picking cities that got 50% growth rate is tough. You need to get ones that have similar growth rates if you want, try to balance all the stuff we're doing about it. And go from there. But Ms. Mayor said something about road improvement. And I tell you what, I go all over the state looking at loans all over the place. And I tell you what, there's a lot of money being spent on roads, and it ain't. And I know we got the $25 million over here for the road that goes to the Augusta. But I'm telling you what, we ain't getting our fair share when you look at what's going on in the rest of the state.
How many roads have been built making in the last 30 years?
I know we got two on the south side since 1984.
And we continued Route 1 back in the mid-80s. Remember that? That came down to two lanes.
I'll tell y'all how that happened.
Roger, when do you think you would
I know what happened. And I think y'all do too.
The new draft with these changes.
As far as the time is concerned, as far as the time is concerned, I know council has a meeting next Monday. They have one 2 weeks from Monday. We could have things ready for you very quickly, but I'm not too sure how many times council wants to meet during the month of August. We already have 3 meetings set. Unless you want to have another one at the end of the month, we can hold off till September, or we do have a 5th Monday in the month.
I think we would want to look at the ordinance before we make that recommendation. Let's look at this revision and see what it looks like.
Yeah, and we can have that ready in a week if we wanted to. It just all depends on how quickly you want to meet.
Okay, well, you can send it out, and then you can feedback comments. Is that what you can send to him?
I would think so. And
or you want to bring your comments back to me?
I think maybe we should bring back. What do you think?
Yeah, bring it back to me. It would be too confusing if everybody drives their feet.
I'd also, just for myself, be interested in hearing from you, Jim, and Steve, and whoever else actually does build it, what sort of mitigation you've had to deal with, what do you think was effective, what do you think was a waste of money, what do you think... I'd be interested to hear that, if you have any specifics, that you thought worked.
Well, the other concern that I have added to that, Jane, in terms of what we decide upon, I'm not afraid of legal litigation in courts, but how we have to consider how much, based on our decision, how much litigation is it going to, what we're going to be faced with, and the cost of the litigation as a result of decisions to be made to file. So that's a concern of mine. I want to make sure that we make the most informed decisions here, whatever we do.
As long as we adhere to that state law and comply, I don't have a problem with that.
The only comment I'd like to change the question is, my concern is this, is that we make it so difficult for growth in this town, which is an important source of income and generation of funds, that we lose that. And we're not going to generate near the money we think we are from the development of a businessman for impact. It's not going to offset.
But that has to be counterbalanced.
And that's all I'm saying. I'm for this ordinance. I just want to be real careful. And as far as speaking to experiences I've had, very limited. I think Jim could address that much better than I can.
As far as impact fees on traffic, really the only area that I've ever run into is Delaware. And we developed, I guess, 200 facilities from Delaware through Alabama, and I've never hit it before, Jay.
But you said you had to do traffic studies.
I do traffic studies on every single project.
And mitigation, you've mitigated some things, obviously, surely.
I've never had impact fee put on me traffic-wise, except in the state of Delaware. Now, I've had mandates on decel lanes, turn lanes, signalization within our confines.
Right.
And we do that constantly. We always do. You have to ensure smooth, safe ingress and egress of development. The left-hand movement is ultra important. And I hear what this gentleman's down here saying with the trucks. I mean, you got to have that smooth, safe left-hand movement. What we're looking at, though, is we're pigeonholing a mile and a half of road, and we're putting in a ordinance that I don't know what this is really going to do for us. The reason that I say that is the state has already dictated and mandated to you what they require for a study. I mean, I told you that, and you see where their thresholds are. And the only thing that I questioned today had to do with the thresholds and what is going to kick this off. I think there should be a study done when it reaches a threshold, a required threshold. And I don't have any real problems in studying outside the boundary lines where the city knows where their potential problems may be. But for you to mandate and dictate that man should pay for that development because he's last here, I think is wrong. That development is providing jobs, it is increasing the tax base, it is doing the things that is allowing the city to go forward. And we have to be very careful, in my view, and I think that's everybody at this table, that's why we're here, we want quality growth. We don't want rapid growth. I don't think anybody wants rapid growth. We want quality growth, and how is the best way to do that? We can inhibit the heck out of ourselves with some very restrictive ordinances, and we need to be very, very careful. If this started out, Mr. Mayor, at 100 trips, Mr. Smith, 100 trips, and you were arguing heartily for 100 trips, and we have got to, we really have to look at these kind of things.
We had 100 trips suggested to us.
It was 100 per hour.
Really,
the original ordinance that was
peak hour per hour.
I think we're all here. As Jim has said, we're here to solve the problem.
That's right.
We all mean well, and I think it's been a very good meeting.
Would the first Tuesday in September, that's the 7th, be a good day for folks? That's the Tuesday after Labor Day.
All right. Same time, same station.
Same time, same place. 6:30 on the 7th of September. Okay. You can all tell Tad some other date if you want.
Are you leaving that? Put that in place.
Thank you, everybody. Yeah, fine. Bye.